I'm just another girl sat here in another month eating McDonald's chips while we record.
You're actually ridiculous.
The last time we recorded, I had a really bad day for some reason, and today I've had a fucking wild day. I order fries when I'm stressed or busy.
Just
So,
fries on their own, though.
no. I had a double cheeseburger and three chicken selects as well, barbecue sauce with a bottle of water.
You can't order all that and then get a bottle of water.
Yeah, you have to. What's the point in getting the extra calories there?
You can get a Diet Coke.
I don't like Diet Coke. I'm allergic to it.
Are you?
Yes, makes me ill. Hello and welcome back to Birthday Skin. It's that time of the month, baby.
You have so much more energy than I do.
I don't know why. I don't know why. I think maybe there must be a lot of sugar in that McDonald's barbecue dip.
Maybe it's all the sugar in the water that you ordered.
I've got an important question for you before we begin the serious stuff.
Okay.
And I'm sorry it's a cliché question, but it's going to lead me on to a funny story. What is your meal deal order or purchase?
I actually did have this conversation a few weeks ago whilst at a Sam Fender gig. We were waiting for him to come on, and we were just like, guys. So I'm a creature of habit. But I have a few habits. It does actually solely depend on the shop. But let's just
Right.
say it's
Actually, that's a very good point because co-op, nah, get gone.
I've got three main ones. I've got a tuna and sweet corn, but like I wouldn't get a tuna from Tesco.
Yeah, snob. Where would you get it from? Marks and Spencer's.
M&S tuna sandwich as well, nice, yeah. Or
Yeah.
Sainsbury's.
I'm laughing, but I'm also agreeing.
I like a chicken salad.
Interesting. Chicken salad sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I like, depending on the shop, like a ham and cheese. And Tesco do like a ham, cheese, and slaw, which is nice. So they're my three. I'd
Slaw.
slaw. I don't really go away from those three, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then I normally get crisps, either like your classic Quavers or Squares.
Yeah.
And then
Oh,
drink.
wait, hang on. Classic squares. Are you
Yeah,
high?
like, I feel like
Classic
Squares.
squares.
Yeah, like, like when you think of like lunchbox crisps, it's like Quavers, Squares, like what are the long French fries? They're all like the same
Oh.
brand. Yeah, but it's like the same brand of crisp.
No, I'm solid walkers. I'm perturbed that you count a square as a standard crisp. It's quite rogue. It's not, I know that you love a square.
Really don't think it's that rogue. Anyway, drink. I'd either go, it depends if I want fizzy or not. If I'm going fizzy, it's either like a lemonade or a Coke Zero. If I'm not, it's probably going to be a lemon iced tea.
Yeah, that's good. Well, the reason why I asked was because I was having this conversation the other day and then I got sent a funny meme. And my meal deal of choice is not from Co-op. It's actually, oh, where is it? Just, oh, Pret.
Bloody hell, you're calling me bougie for going M&S?
No. Right, it's either Pret or there's another one and I've forgotten which one it is. It's potentially Sainsbury's.
I feel like Boots do a nice meal deal, to be fair.
Maybe it's Boots. I'm trying to think of the places I would go in town to get a meal deal.
I really
And I
like a
hate the
Boots meal
co-op
deal.
one. Yeah.
But to be fair, for me, like I said, it doesn't matter which shop it is, I will kind of gravitate towards those three choices of sandwich
Yeah.
filling.
Me too. So basically, my choice is a just cheese. Just cheese on its own. No
I feel
mayo.
like I like cheese, but I feel like that is something a paedophile would probably order. That's a proper nonce sandwich, that.
No, just cheese. Just cheese all on its own. Then a packet of plain crisps, either hula hoops
You're
plain
screaming
or
like sex offender.
or
Don't tell me
to
you're
be
getting
honest,
water as well with it. You
yeah.
do. Oh my God.
And if I'm branching out from the water, if I'm branching out from, I never branch out. Actually, no, that's a lie. If I branch out from the sandwich, it's just ham and just cheese from Pret. And then the side will be the sea salt crisps from Pret. and then I will have a bottle of water. I'm aware that Pret don't do a meal deal because they're just too high above their pay grade for a meal deal. However, if I'm going away, I go from just cheese to either just cheese and ham.
Bloody hell, you need to be kept indoors.
The ham is has to be from a good ham. It can't be bad ham. I'm not touching bad ham. Then
so
if
you,
I sway
no
away,
Billy Bear ham then.
Oh my god! Oh, the
there
thought
it is.
Of Billy Bear
actually
ham,
disgusting Billy Bear ham. Like it.
It's actually genuinely turning my stomach. I remember as a kid being like, "Mom, I want to eat that," and she was like, "No, you'll not like it. It's disgusting. I don't feed you that." And I was like, "I want to try it. It's a bear." And I remember in Asda as a child, vividly putting it in my mouth and then gagging and it firing out of my mouth onto the floor. She was like, I told you, she literally bought me one slice and I spat it out on the floor. Anyway.
Can you buy a
no
Billy
Bear,
Bear
ham
slice?
Well, it was on the deli at the time. It was when you could be
Billy,
like, I want
I never
this
knew
many slices.
Billy Bear ham had a place on the deli.
I
Where
thought
are you
could
shopping?
Only get it from a deli.
No, it's in like a plastic packet, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm talking 1994 before you were even born.
True,
maybe
I
95.
Can tell you what was on the deli in 94 because I wasn't even conceived.
To be fair, they don't even have delis anymore.
They've got like meat counters though.
Yeah, it was like the meat counter deli thing. Anyway, I go away from the cheese. It's the cheese and ham. If I go away from the plain hula hoops, I go for salt and vinegar Walkers. And if I go away from the water, I go for the innocent sparkling, no added sugar, lemon and lime. Or sparkling water. And anyway, I had this conversation and everybody was disgusted with me. And the meme that I got sent was a picture of a, and I know what shop it's from. It's from the Co-op. It's a grated cheese and mayonnaise sandwich because that's the just cheese and it's disgusting. But it said, this sandwich looks like each piece of bread represents a person and the cheese in between represents the fact that they only have sex once a month and don't like one another, have nothing in common.
You and Alex.
And I was like, oh my God. I was crying. It was me that I've just not been able to think about how boring I am.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not even going to try and sugarcoat it. I really disagree with that meal deal choice. And I just think you're trying to spruce it up by saying if you stray away, but you just mention things that are just as boring. You're trying to like be like, well, if I sway away, then I go for this. And it's,
then
that's
I get
not,
for
it's not seducing me anymore.
Bubbles.
I do like a sparkling water, but if I am giving my hard-earned money that I earn every month, I work 5 days a week for it, for a meal deal, I'm
right.
not buying water.
Right. Well, we've been talking about this for 7
minutes. Unless I'm at the airport. That is the only time I'd buy water at my meal deal, unless I'm at the airport and I just need a drink to see me through the flight and stuff. That's it.
See me through the... You nearly said night. See me through
no,
the flight.
See me through the flight.
One thing I do just want to add, I don't like fizzy drinks. I don't like the weird lettuce that they use in sandwiches because it's always that curly lettuce and not nice butterhead lettuce. I don't like tomatoes. That seems to be in everything. I do like a tuna sweet corn, but it has to be from certain places. I agree. Not the Co-op. Probably only M&S. And yeah, that's all I have to add. Sometimes I pick pineapple instead of crisps.
Right. What else have we been up to? Since the last episode, I really quickly went on holiday to... Did we say it was Gdansk? Gdansk. And I just want to say it was bloody brilliant and it was cheap as chips. So if you are thinking about...
It had a damn beach!
Well, there was a town nearby called Sopot that had a beach and it's only 20-minute Uber. We were going to get public transport to like embrace the culture, but an Uber was just the same price and it was obviously a lot more convenient, so we got an Uber. But yeah, it was lovely. So if you're thinking about booking like a little getaway and not sure where to go and you want to go somewhere different, then I would highly recommend. It was very cheap to go, very cheap accommodation and really affordable when you're actually there
very
as
cheap.
Well. So that was... Lovely. Very good, very cheap, very good, very cheap.
Very cheap, very nice.
Very
good,
cheap,
very nice.
It was
I wonder
all
how many
very
people
cheap,
have turned
nice.
Us.
Probably quite a lot.
I went to Bordeaux.
Nice, how was that?
Yeah, it was nice, but I realised while I was there I don't like red wine. So nice. That was fun. And it rained the whole damn time. So that was annoying. But I had a good time. And I'm actually, the reason why I've had such a wild day is because I'm going to Lisbon tomorrow.
Lovely.
So by the time you hear this, I will be on the flight back home. No, I've not been before.
Gorgeous. I loved Lisbon. It was very nice. Very good, very nice. Very good, very nice.
I hate us.
I hate us too. Did want to talk about something else that's absolutely in no way skincare related, but you'll really enjoy it. But I don't know whether to save it till the end to give people a little bit of substance. Or
yeah, just... save it to the end.
No, I'm going to tell you now. So you know,
we're 10 minutes in.
Yeah, because you wanted to talk about water, getting water and fucking plain cheese sandwiches for your meal deal. It's going to be the last thing I mention before we actually get started. If you're not that bothered, skip ahead like a minute because it won't take long. Basically, do you know Gerald on Instagram?
Oh, Gerald. My God, Gerald.
Basically, to anybody who doesn't follow Stratford Gerald on Instagram, that's literally it. He's basically a little old guy who's a gardener.
Big
and he grows. Leave him alone. Leave Gerald alone. And he grows.
I'm sorry, you can't look at Gerald and describe him as little.
He's just pure. This is my time. Basically, he grows veg, and he's got like near enough 80,000 followers. I think he's been on like morning breakfast TV shows and stuff. And anyway, true. I always send videos and stuff to you and like a few other friends because he ends absolutely everything, not only on videos, but on captions with the word cheers. For example, he posted something the other day. Let me try and get the caption. Right. This was just a selfie. There's absolutely no punctuation in this. So I'm going to read it to you how it reads. Up the Lottie since 5 a.m. getting things done before it gets hot. The apple and pear trees give me good shade. Cheers. he'll end everything with cheers. And the way he says it, I'm not going to play it phone. No, because I want people to go and cherish Gerald. He'll basically be like, these are my vegetables. Cheers. So my friends in like the gym, when we talked to each other and then we go, cheers. And my friend Holly followed him, right? He's followed her back.
Oh my God, he must fancy her.
He's followed her back. She's private. He's requested to follow her. So then today, in absolute uproar and rage, I unfollowed him and followed him back to see if he was on a streak. And he's just not bothered.
Oh, Stratford Gerald's not interested in you.
I know. What's wrong with me, Stratford Gerald?
I'm gonna unfollow him right now, and then I'm gonna follow him in a minute and see if he follows me back. Give me a sec.
Kat always comments on his thing, so he's put a selfie
cheers
in the weight room for Steph's pat lunch, and he's put in the green room waiting to be called. It's exciting. Cheers. And Kat's put, love you, Gerald. I'll be watching Steph's pat lunch, and he's liked the comment.
Oh my god, he's so cute.
Please, everybody, go and look at Stratford Gerald.
Don't know what we'll do with them. I think we'll dry some of them for our pizzas next winter. Cheers.
Cheers.
He's talking about his aubergines and peppers. Right, I'll see if I get followed by Gerald. Shall we get this show on the road?
Yes, please. Let's get this show on the road.
Birthday skin. So, in today's episode, we are talking evil ingredients. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank the editor of this podcast, Abby Gibson, for giving us the title of this episode. It was all her idea. So, bravo, Abby. Can we all have a round of applause for Abby?
Cheers, Abby.
Cheers.
Cheers. Sure.
So I must admit, I had one thing in mind when I wanted to speak about this episode. And then you were like, oh, there's loads of information there. And then you're the one that's written 3 pages worth of information. And I've just put one little chunk at the bottom. So I'm going to let you start because we're going to go through we've spoken about some stuff before, very early days, birthday skin. And I feel like it's only the OGs that listen to us now because we only produce an episode monthly. So we love you. We appreciate you.
I feel like with this one, everybody should know by now that I am not a science-heavy gal. So I will be reading from my notes in the Google Doc. So if at any point it does sound like I'm just reading off a page, it literally is because I am. But I'm going to try and make it sound as less monotone as possible. But yeah, I am going to try my best. So When you mentioned about like ingredients and stuff, there was just so much to like pack in, because it's not only the ingredients, but it's also like the regulations and stuff, like what is actually allowed to be in a product, what are the regulations behind, just like what is stopping me sitting in my bedroom throwing loads of shit in a bottle like you used to do when you were younger trying to make potions and then trying to sell that. Like, what are the regulations behind that? So the UK cosmetic industry is actually the third biggest in the EU. I know we're not in the EU anymore, but these are all facts that I
RIP
found, by EU. And it's obvious that all cosmetics, so whether it be your skincare, your makeup, your hair care, your nail polishes, your body washes, blah, 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 they all contain chemicals. But it is just working out like what you want and what you don't want, what's good and what's bad. Because some chemicals are good. I mean, water is a chemical and we're not going to ever slag that off, are we? There's quite a big difference in how, well, I mean, there is and there isn't, how UK and US regulations differ. So as of 2009, the EU had banned 1,328 chemicals from cosmetics, whereas in 2008, so like around a similar time, the US regulator had only banned or restricted 30. I think it's fair to say that the EU / UK, because at time of this being done, obviously the UK was in the EU, so it's all one big thing, are a lot more stricter about what can be in your cosmetics. But yeah, it's in the UK, it's regulated by the UK Cosmetics Regulation, which is called cheers. That sounds pretty legit. So yeah, they've not beat around the bush with that name, have they?
No.
But yeah, so it's not actually against the law to sell a product that you knock up in your bedroom, but there are obviously rules and stuff that you need to follow, which means it's going to be safe and it's not going to burn your skin off. And the producer needs to do a safety assessment on the products before it goes to market to ensure it's safe for human health, which is obviously quite important. And the person doing the check is called a safety assessor, and they should have a diploma or other formal qualification in like pharmacy, toxicology, medicine, or something similar to that. So we are in very safe hands when it comes to like the regulations and stuff in the UK. Like, products do have to follow quite a lot of rules to be able to make it onto the shelf. So that's a good thing to start with.
One thing I wanted to add there is that, one, you know when you see like people like, oh my God, I've been working on this product for so long, it's been like 2 years in the making, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And you're like, shut up, you've not been doing it for 2 years. They literally have, because the thing is, you will get your like product and you will try it for the first time. You might be like, oh, I don't like the color, or I don't like the smell, or I don't like, it's not very good. That formulation would have to be tested before you get to try it. And then you would change the formulation, which has to be tested again to come back. And the thing is that every ingredient in that product has to be tested itself. So it's not like you're testing the product, you're testing everything that goes into it. So if you're trying to make something new, you need to test everything that goes into it and then test how they all work together. And it's the same when it comes to, you know, the leaping bunny, the like animal cruelty free symbol.
If you didn't actually know what the leaping bunny meant, we did do an episode quite a while ago on the like logos signs and stuff, what you should be looking for on your packaging. Just a wee little plug there. Cheers.
Just a wee little plug. Cheers. Cheers. And basically the... it can be really quite tricky to know whether something is animal cruelty free, because you might have your moisturizer from the Inculus, say, and that's cruelty free because that entire formulation of that moisturizer hasn't been tested on an animal. But then all of the ingredients that go into that may have been tested on an animal way back when down the line. So you can be buying a product that's not been tested on animal, but that doesn't mean that anything, that everything in the, not the Inculist, I use an Inculist as an example, please don't sue us. I love Inculist. Inculist is the best. But what I'm saying is...
I just want
is,
to say, me, Amy Wall, age 26, did not have anything to do with that comment. It was all Sean Perry, age 41. However old you are.
I'm 29.
That you're a lot older than me. You're a lot older than me, darling. So, it doesn't
darling. Anyway, well, you don't remember Billy Bear Ham at the deli counter, so whatever. Anyway,
I don't really want to remember that era, though. You're saying that like it's offensive.
Yeah,
I don't care. Yeah. I'm not really that bothered.
Anyway, yes, yeah, the formulation itself just might not have be completely animal cruelty free. So yeah, that was my point, because I just thought it was quite interesting with you saying that you can just make stuff in your bedroom. Like, yeah, sure, go for it, but you need to have it tested. And it reminded me of that whole loophole in the system.
Yeah, it's quite interesting that, actually,
because products will pay the Leaping Bunny to put the logo on their bottle. That's how they make money. You'd be like, I'm leaping, because it's like a trusted thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
of course, yeah.
Yeah. The Leaping Bunny. You see that on the bottle and you just think that it's legit. So anyway.
So in terms of actual ingredients to look out for, obviously, if we were to sit here and pull every single ingredient that could be classed as bad, then we'd be here for a fucking age, and we've already spent however long talking about meal deals and Gerald Stretford. So I'm going to just do a quick overview. So it's going to be parabens, which I thought we'd done an episode on them before, but I looked at our back catalogue and we haven't.
We have. We did have them. Like, as one of, like, the first five episodes we ever did, yeah.
Oh, we yeah, because a few got deleted, didn't they?
Yeah.
We had to delete a few. Oh, RIP. Anyway, also, there's quite some quite big words in this, as you can imagine, so please bear with. Formaldehyde, oxybenzone, phthalates, which, again, for our US pals, phthalates are actually banned in the UK and EU, but not in the US. So I thought I would just quickly briefly mention, because they came up quite a lot when researching. And then alcohol. That's it, really.
Alcohol. Okay. So we start with parabens.
Yeah, starting with parabens. So this is kind of like what one of the main ones that pops up quite a lot. And obviously, I feel like parabens are quite a controversial subject anyway. But what actually is a paraben? Basically, it's just a preservative. It's used to prevent bacteria or fungus from growing and increasing the shelf life of the product. So they're in everything from like shampoo to shower gel to face creams. And they've been used for fucking ages. But I think it's important to know that oils... Bloody ages. Oils don't require the same preservatives as water-based products. So oils are kind of like a different kettle of fish, really. I don't really... Would you get a paraben in an oil? I don't know. I don't know if they need preserving as well. It's water-based. But the popular ones are methyl paraben, propyl paraben, butyl paraben, ethyl paraben. Basically... It's actually really hard to know all these like ingredients, because they're all about 5,000 syllables long. But the easy thing with parabens is it will, the compound ingredient, whatever, will always end in the word paraben. So it's easy to spot them from like the off, which is good, because like I said, some of them, you'd look at them and you think, what is that? I would literally have no idea what that is. But then it's also like, so where does the controversy of a paraben come in?
Yeah,
but just a bit,
dodge my bodge.
Yeah. So I read this article that said in 2004 British scientist Philippa Darby published a paper that found traces of parabens in breast tissue samples, but there wasn't enough evidence to link paraben use to cancer risk. But it did prove that it can pass through the skin barrier into our bodies. And
yeah, that's terrifying.
It really is. Apparently, parabens can also mimic estrogen, which means they can tamper with our hormone production.
Oh.
And they're not actually banned in the EU or US because of the lack of scientific proof that they have an effect on human health. And they are considered safe to use, since cosmetics only actually use a tiny concentration of them anyway, if they are in that product. But... if you are wanting to go paraben-free in skincare, then you can look out for compounds with preserving properties such as salicylic acid and sorbic acid. Apparently, they're two good ones for preservation.
Nice. I was going to say, there's also, in terms of brands that you can use that are paraben-free, Kiehl's have some paraben-free products.
I'm sure I read before that you're not allowed to use the term paraben-free. I'm not sure how true that is.
Oh,
but like obviously that'll be their selling point, but I think there's something against using the phrase paraben free, but I don't
know. That's interesting. I imagine it's maybe just kind of you would shop to be paraben free and somewhere like, oh no, because face theory here, free of parabens and silicons.
I don't know.
So
maybe I'm making that up.
Yeah, maybe you're lying. Yeah, well, I think that's it. Maybe they can say that they don't have parabens in, but they're not allowed to put all over the bottle paraben free.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it is important to note as well, with a lot of these, I was reading quite a lot of stuff, and obviously I don't want to like diminish the research that all these scientists and stuff have done, and it said it in every single thing I read anyway, that obviously the stuff that's been proven about these kind of specific ingredients is like terrifying and really bad. But if you buy a face cream with parabens in it, the likelihood is, like I just said, there's only going to be a tiny, tiny, tiny amount of that ingredient in it. Like, I'm not saying go ahead and shove loads of parabens on your face, but like, if you notice maybe you've been using something with parabens and you've not realised, and you think, oh shit, try not to worry, because the likelihood is you've not had a high enough exposure for it to affect you like this, unless you've literally been smothering your face in, I don't know, it since you came out the womb. I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
Since you were buying Billy Bear ham from the deli counter.
Since 94, when Billy Bear ham was on the deli counter. I'm not sure. I feel like a lot of it was like really scaremongering, and I was like, oh, I don't like it. But like, the reality is, like I've just said, it's probably a very low percentage that you would be using. But that's not to say carry on using it. Like, I think, just if it's something that interests you after listening to this pod, then go ahead, do your own research and just see what works best for you and stuff. There are a lot of brands out there, though, at the minute that do use paraben-free formulas, yeah, and stuff now, because of the research that's been done.
Yeah, and also in terms of that scaremongering point, there's nothing in this world that won't kill you. You drink too much water, you'll die. You know what I mean? Like, there's always something in something that is a risk to life if you overdo it. So, I would try not to get too scared by that sort of content, but I do get it. I get scared by it sometimes too.
Well, it is scary,
shall we move on to formaldehyde?
Formaldehyde. So basically, it's another preservative commonly used in cosmetics. I think it's more commonly used in, like, commonly, I can't even speak, used in, like, eyelash glues and nail polishes and, like, hair treatments and stuff. But it's also used in the production of building materials and household projects. Obviously, the quantities will be a lot bigger and different, but it's something interesting. But the thing with formaldehyde is it got a little bit confusing, because where it's more commonly used in skincare, it's more formaldehyde releasing ingredients rather than it being in its pure form.
Yeah, because so, I was going to say formaldehyde is what they will store animals' specimens in. I'm thinking of thalidomide, and I made this mistake when we first did an episode on this type of thing. So ignore me. It's formaldehyde. Formaldehyde is what they store heads in and stuff. Disgusting.
Anyway, so these are some complicated words that I don't know how to pronounce. Basically, midazonidal is my, that's how I'm going to pronounce it. Midazonidal urea, diazonidal, DMDM hydatoin. So they would be your formaldehyde releasing ingredients, and they're used as preservatives. And basically what they do is release it in really, really small amounts over a long period of time to help against contamination by bacteria in your products. So the deal with formaldehyde is it can apparently cause scalp burns and hair loss. Sorry, that was the sound of my giant dog thudding herself on the floor. But again, that's only if you use loads and loads and loads and loads and loads. And I don't want to throw the C word out there, but I did read that there's a cancer risk with high exposure. But that is like, again, loads and loads and loads.
Yeah, so I feel like that's most definitely a product you want to avoid. When you Google formaldehyde, it actually says it's an extremely toxic piece of chemical. So, you know, the idea for this episode actually came about because I was keen to understand alcohol in skincare. So when I had a skincare consultation with Lianne, they basically said to me, you need to try and avoid anything with certain types of alcohol in. And I completely forgot what they said, but I just remember it being a really bad thing if I had alcohol in my skincare. And so I was like, you know what? I really need to research that again, because I went to buy my all-time fave moisturizer, and then it was out of stock. So I was like, ah, shit, I need to find something. And I ended up settling on a Laniege one from TK Maxx, and it was actually great. Like, it didn't bring my skin out in a breakout, and yeah, it was really nice. But I was struggling to remember what type of alcohol it was that I should be trying to avoid, because I'm aware that not all alcohols are bad in skincare. And so I did a little bit of research ahead of the recording this evening, Ames. You'll be surprised to know. So you'll be surprised to know, Ames, there are three types of alcohol that you can find in skincare. And I've got to the bottom of what's good, what's bad, and what's medium, as I've called it in the notes. So basically, it's kind of, it reminds me a little bit of the way that fats are in food. It's not strictly the same, but for the good fats and the bad fats, not the medium ones, I think we can compare it to things that we might eat on a day-to-day basis. So if you have good fats in your diet, you're talking about oily fish, avocados, nuts, seeds, yogurts, cheeses, that sort of thing, which in small amounts, maybe not cheese actually, because that's quite high in saturated fat, I think. But obviously we are encouraged to have small amounts of fat. Like, a fat-free diet is not good for us. And so it's the same in skincare. And then for bad fats, it would be like the McDonald's that I've just absolutely wolfed down my throat at a million miles an hour before we started recording. It'd be stuff like crisps and butter. I know that some butter is good for you, but, you know, like, yeah, cheese. Every time I put my plain cheese sandwich into my fitness pal, it reminds me that it's high in saturated fat. So yeah, whatever, cheese is on that list. So you've got your good fats like avocados and fish, you've got your bad fats like cheeseburgers from McDonald's. And then in the middle, this is where skincare is slightly different. So I thought it might be useful to go over what some of the good fats are, the bad ones, and then ones that kind of lie in between. So good fatty alcohols include cetyl, sterile, I think I'm saying that right, sterile, and cetaryl alcohol, which are derived from fats anyway, and their prime use is to thicken products or kind of make them more of an emollient. So moisturizers, maybe balms, that sort of thing. And they're good to have, so you don't really need to worry about the effect that they're going to have on your skin. But then there's the bad alcohols, which is what they call aromatic alcohols. And that is essentially, she said it, products that contain fragrances that are really high up in the ingredients list. So things like benzyl alcohol are really bad. Essential oil alcohols, so things like if you had lavender oil or I don't know, other things like that, maybe mint oil, I'm not sure. Basically, these ingredients can cause skin irritation and dryness. So obviously, as somebody with dry skin, I can't really afford to be applying products that are going to further dry me out if I'm using them on a day-to-day basis, and it obviously is compounding. It's also not good for sensitive skin. So if you want to try and avoid any aromatic alcohols, then just try and choose fragrance-free products. Just to note on that as well, we've touched on it before, but fragrance-free, it might not say it on the bottle, but if you look through an ingredients list and you see benzyl alcohol or you see lavender essence or whatever it might be, any essential oils, or even just the word parfum, that's fragrance. So you need to remove parfum. That. Parfum. And then we have the medium range, which aren't good and they're not bad, and they are called simple alcohols. So they are things like methanol, ethanol, propanol, denatured alcohol. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but those alcohols, we obviously know that if you get a wound or something, sometimes you'll be given medical alcohol or whatever it's called. You can buy it in Boots, can't you, to kind of clear. Amy, stop writing poo chitters on the on the script. So now you've stopped writing on the script. So there's alcohols that are actually good for cleaning minor wounds and that sort of thing, and kind of, I think it's like surgical spirit or something. So anyway, these simple alcohols are used for their antibacterial properties. The only thing to note is that they are good if they are obviously like harnessing this antibacterial property, but when you get large amounts of them, or you're using a lot of products in one routine that all have a lot of simple alcohols in, that's when it's going to start to kind of dry you out. So again, if you've got dry or sensitive skin, you want to completely avoid them. So as a quick roundup, there's fatty alcohols, simple alcohols, aromatic alcohols, and that's in order of good to bad. The ones that you want to avoid are benzyl alcohol, or anything that is like an essence. Nice. The end. That's my input. So do you...
Cheers.
So cheers. So do you want to go into oxybenzone? Because I find this really interesting, and I think it touches upon a very timely topic, which is my favourite to blab on about.
Yes. So oxybenzone was one that came up when having a little gander on the big wide web. And basically, it's an ingredient found in sunscreen, and its purpose is to absorb UVB and UVA rays, so it helps protect your skin against them. More research does actually need to be done, but it has been found to be an
endocrine disruptor.
Disrupting compound, which means it can interfere with hormones. But not only that, it's also really bad for the ocean and the coral reef because it's the got ocean. Bleaching properties, apparently. Hawaii has actually banned it from their sunscreens for that reason. And also, as of March 2022, Holland and Barrett have banned it from every product in their store because of its damage to the ocean.
That's good.
Yeah, it is quite good, to be fair. Well, it's very good. And then on that one, on the kind of umbrella of these weird as fuck names that you need to be looking for each ingredient that we mention, you want to be looking for sunscreens containing, so oxybenzone and then benzophenone-3.
Benzophenone.
I have no idea what it means.
Yeah, benzophenone-3.
Why are you saying that like I should know what that means?
No, because you just said it right.
Oh, right. I'm saying it. I thought you were saying it. Benzophenone-3, yeah.
No.
Yeah, of course it's benzophenone-3, yeah. That's like Elon Musk's going to name his next kid or something. Welcome to the world, benzoninone-3.
-3.
Musk.
So good. So good.
Oh my God. It's only, yeah, like I've just said that then, and it's giving this child like all these crazy names, and the surname is just one syllable. Musk.
Musk.
Musk. Benzoninone-3. Musk.
Musk. That's so
anyway,
funny.
Musk.
Musk.
I'll need to stop saying musk because now it doesn't sound like a real word. The last one is the one that I briefly mentioned in the introduction, which was about 10 years ago now, which is banned in the UK and the EU, but not in the US, which is why I thought I'd briefly touch on it. So this one is phthalates. It's actually spelled P-H, phthalates, P-H, fat with a P-H.
We thought it was phthalates for such a long time.
Did we?
Yeah. Go back and listen to previous episodes of Birthday Skin. Phthalates.
Phthalates.
That's actually, when we were recording in Social Chain.
It's actually phthalates. And this is one that's hiding under the umbrella of fragrance. So it's got a few different uses, but I think its main one is to kind of help perfume stick to the skin. And then I think I read that like another form of it kind of helps in nail polishes, not like to make sure they don't crack or something like that. So I think it's, from what I've read, I don't think this is one you'd commonly find in like a face cream. It's more like fragrances and...
like perfume?
Perfume, yeah. I think anyway. Actually, I'm going to cut that out because I think...
no way, I'm going to Google it.
Because fragrance is obviously in skincare, but I'm sure it's like more nail polishes and stuff like that.
Oh, God. Phthalates present in perfumes.
I think it is mainly perfumes.
Perfume, nail polish, hairspray, sanitary pads.
But less on the skincare range, I think.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Got some great news, guys. Great news. My favourite perfume does not have phthalates in it. Fern. While this remains an open question, we can guarantee that fern fragrances are and always will be completely phthalate-free.
I mean, you'd hope so, because it's literally banned in the UK.
Oh, right. Right, okay, well, I wasn't listening to you when you said that, clearly.
Right, so for this, what you want to be looking out for my US pals, is DEP, DBP, DEHP, I'm not taking the piss out of you, I promise, or fragrance. You know that's like on Cat in the Hat where he goes, you can call me thing one, thing two, thing I mean my hair, or Ben. Because, yes. Like, you can call me Thing One, Hanarana, Chocolate Thunder, or Ben. What's that like? I love that film.
DEP, DBP, DEHP.
Fragrance. Basically, it's really bad. So I'm just going to quickly read this because I don't think it's something I can try and make sound fun. Not fun, but like read it as if there's some passion in my voice. Basically, the European Chemicals Agency classifies DEHP and DBP as reproductive toxicants. Studies have shown in adult human males that sperm quality and male infertility are associated with it. It's not like the women's reproductive systems aren't as sensitive to it, although female lab rats, in brackets, I've put sad because that is sad, exposed to DBP and other phthalates showed altered sex hormones and increased likelihood of fetal loss. And I do not need altered sex hormones.
No, that's sad.
I need every single one I can get.
God, aren't men pathetic? Their sperm quality weakened by a phthalate.
Anyway, I think that's not really one to worry about too much over here because, like I said, and I have said 30 million times, it's banned. So
yeah, I would say, though, I do get quite excited if I go to America about buying some skincare products. And I feel like there was actually, so as we've been recording, I've been applying my Philip Kingsley Elasticizer. And they have a product that this girl on Instagram called Tinks really raves about, and it's the Philip Kingsley like hair retainer. I've noticed that the hair on the left side of my head near like is more receding than the right, like my right side isn't receding at all, but my left side is. And I was a bit like, oh dear, I'm not even 30 yet, I need to do something about that. Saw that she recommended it and you can't buy it in the UK, and I was like, oh, I wonder why, there must be an ingredient in it that's banned. And now I'm thinking, is it phthalates because it's in shampoos?
Yeah,
and it's like a product that you put on your hair, it's a shampoo.
This is one that is more commonly in like your shampoos and your hair care and stuff like that.
So I think that wraps us up, doesn't it, of all of the evil ingredients trademarked
by Abby Gibson. It does wrap it up. And like I said when we started, I don't think it's possible for us to sit here and list and describe every single thing that could be classed as toxic, because there are so many different ingredients, so many good and bad chemicals, so many studies that prove and don't prove certain things that it is just quite difficult. So I think the most important thing to be aware of is mainly kind of the main top tier ones that we've mentioned in this episode. And then if there's any others that fall under the umbrella of like uncertainty, just go and have a quick look yourself. And I have put in the little summary here, like, do your research and be aware what ingredients will be hiding under umbrella names, because the amount of names I've just mentioned then that are just basically different names for the same thing, it's really confusing. And then there are apps out there that you can use, like the Think Dirty app, which my mum for about a year was obsessed with, and she kept messaging me stuff like, do you know your MAC lipstick is really dangerous? And I'd be like, oh, mum. And like, unlike other databases, it focuses on the chemical content of the product, and it is actually, it gives you information that is easy to understand, and it will also offer you cleaner options of the products that you are searching. I think all you literally need to do is scan the barcode or type it in. Not an ad, not been paid to promote that. I really wish we had, but we've not.
Hashtag no affiliate link.
No ad. And then I've also put as like a little note on the end, not all chemicals are bad. Like I said at the start, yes, water is a chemical. So
water is a chemical. So is oxygen. Keeps us alive.
So not all chemicals are bad.
Well, that was very well rounded off just as we're coming into the hour. I think we're over an hour, actually, because we had a rant this earlier on about cheese sandwiches. So I hope you all enjoyed that. So we will be back on the 30th of August next month. Thank you for listening, as always. We obviously do this as a passion project now. We used to monetize, didn't we? We used to make a bit of a dollar on the side from our birthday skin, but we just like doing this and having fun and chatting to our lovely audience, wherever you may be. So thanks for sticking with us, and thanks for being patient, and shout out to your friend, Amy, who she's actually the one I have in mind every single time. I'm like, shit, we've not done an episode. We can't let her down. What's she called? Sophie.
Sophie, yeah.
Sophie's, yeah.
She'll be mortified again that we've mentioned it. But I did not bring that up. Last time we mentioned it, she was absolutely mortified.
Aww.
Because it was when did I tell you? It was when she complained, and then she was saying to me, she was like, I was listening to it, and I thought, who the fuck would complain? And then she was like, it was me. And I was mortified.
Love you, Sophie.
I was like, yeah, it was you.
Well, you're who I have in mind. And also, yeah, we'll be back in August for show. Thanks for hanging around, guys. We love you all. Have a wonderful summer. Don't forget your SPF. And we'll see you in August as we are getting closer to my 29th birthday.
Nearly the big 3-0.
Next year. Scary. Okay, well, I need to go and pack my bags. Well, I've packed my bag. It's literally a suit. I'm only allowed a rucksack for the flight tomorrow. So I've had to write a list to make sure I go through it and check it's all in there.
You'll be grand. I hope you have a lovely time. I'm saying this as if I'm not going to speak to you in 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Right, love you all. Thanks for hanging around. We appreciate you, and we hope you have a wonderful summer. Bye, guys.
Bye.